1. Each year, instead of being harvested, 20 billion pounds of fresh fruits and vegetables languish in fields and farms. They do not sell. They do not get cooked into stir fries or frittatas or casseroles or otherwise fulfill their purpose as crops, as someone's livelihood, as someone's sustenance. They decay. They spoil. They die slow, foul deaths in mass graves, melons indistinguishable from bulbs of fennel, plowed over or gathered up and discarded by the truckload, no claim to identity in the landfill, sentenced to their fates alongside all the other trash that's generated over the course of a day. Sodden coffee filters, an empty Doritos bag, a crumpled lid with a straw still attached to it, a pen with only half its ink used up, a sock without its fellow, and, even when competing with all that other discarded refuse, all these disposable contents of a life, uneaten edible food still comprises over a fifth of everything the world throws away. This is what I'm thinking about in line at the co-op, where I trade my beef for a cantaloupe and 10 small potatoes. Allegations from a hunger-fighting nonprofit called Feeding America, facts I must have learned from my ex, facts I didn't even know I know. I'm thinking about how last week I didn't use my eggplant, postponing the reckoning for later. I'm thinking about how last night I pulled the last trash bag from the bundle we... Letters to from post-breakup. I feel like a shoebox with a cat in it. Like most of the time, I'm just being a shoebox. Like most of the time. Everyone is asking questions, and I can't talk about you. I'm just being a shoebox, so then I'm mute. I'm mute. I'm mute. I'm mute. I'm mute.
Bought together a year ago, right before the end. And I'm thinking about a line from a Don DeLillo book I read long before that, long before I left, back when it was all spring colors and potential. I feel sad for people and the queer part we...
So I'm just being a shoebox most of the time, so I'm mute most of the time, and my head is so full of you, like how would you react to the weather? When would you fall asleep on a Thursday? What would you say to the cashier? I'm mute, and my head is so full.
Play in our own disasters. When I arrive home, I set the bags on the floor, gently, so as not to bruise the peaches or crack the free-range eggs. I put everything away in the location I've designated for it. Unripe fruit in the glass bowl on top of the microwave, foods that must be prepared and cannot be eaten as is on the middle shelf of the fridge, pasta and other grains on the bottom shelf of the cabinet above the counter where I keep my cutting boards and knives. The knives are dull. No matter how long I spend scraping them against the sharpener that was included when I got them hand-me-down, I still have to saw ferociously to open something as soft as a tomato. They sat in storage for 3 years.
Like most of the time, my head is a shoebox, so full, and I can feel myself leaking out, and I can feel you forgetting me, and then I bet on losing dogs comes on, and I'm slumped in a heap, and the cat ran away and took the top with her.
Use my exes because they were new, not blunted by practice, but I'm glad I kept them now that I don't know when I'll see my ex again, now that I can't remember what their voice sounds like except when I hear traces of it in my own. It's a dirty batch, they explain, tossing handfuls of the strawberries I bought home into the garbage. I peer over the edge of the pile of mushed up fruit and it might be blood clots dragged out from some sunken place stubbornly leaking, or the vital organs of tiny animals, the kind you can cradle in your palm, all those delicate bones, and the whole hideous mess smelling like sugar, cupcakes, Bath and Body Works in a blender. As usual, I don't apologize, but they reassure me anyway. No, babe, it's a good thing, they promise, sticking a soggy hunk into their mouth and swallowing casually as if to prove it. Nobody buys a container if they see that one strawberry in it is moldy, and then at the end of the day, the grocery store just tosses the entire thing. I adore them in these teaching moments. I was ignorant about food waste before we met, so I try diligently to see it. The produce manager with his shaggy hair and green apron, inspecting a shell of fruit just past fresh, deciding it's not worth salvaging, reaching that verdict over and over again, emboldened by the hard evidence of a new truckload arriving in just a few hours. I try to see all of it joining the dumpster, something sweet just an hour before, rendered waste now, completely unremarkable. All those entrails of what we used to want abandoned abandoned in their see-through containers, stained with an unhappy promise, the inevitable rot. You rescued them, they add earnestly, and I laugh, delighted. We both know savior suits me just about as well as sorry. We both understand our roles in this relationship now that we're a year and a half in and my suspicions have turned solid. I've become the self-righteous grudge holder who withholds affection like collateral, who resorts to sarcasm and cheap shots for the illusion of control. It's them who's well-versed in white knighting, win you over charm, side-smiling and sweet-talking in the fine art of the grovel. They're always feeding me whatever words I want to hear, and I allow myself to be indulged. I'm grateful for blind spots. We make a good unit, we agree. Certain words are more welcome here than others, certain story angles, certain sentence structures. To be named is to be made. What's theirs is mine, is ours is us, is them is me. Do you think this will break up into jagged shards that will end up inside the belly of a dead albatross somewhere in the Pacific, I ask? And then, without waiting for an answer, I rinse out the plastic strawberry shell and place it in the recycling bin, as if it's got nothing to do with us. Each year, roughly one-third of the food produced globally for human consumption is lost or wasted, according to the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations. In simple terms, waste results from excess. Most of us buy too much food, and when it goes bad, we throw it away. We're just like the albatross when you think about it, eyes bigger and so much more arrogant than our stomachs. Fine, so that's a gross oversimplification. Consider, for example, that in developing countries, 40% of losses occur at post-harvest and processing levels. In industrialized countries, the same proportion occurs at retail and consumer levels. The former is a function of infrastructure, whereas the latter is a function of human shortcomings, irresponsibility, carelessness. My ex found this particularly fascinating, that poverty and abundance could each, respectively, culminate in the exact same problem. That too much can apply to anything, even a good thing, especially that. But isn't it better to give and take too much than not enough? That's what we decided in small ways every day. That's what we decided as if we had to, as if it's always all or nothing, subject or object, never and, never both at once, never one seeping into the other until language dissolves and you can't even remember what it was you were trying to save. 2. From the produce drawer in my fridge, I retrieve an old tomato from last week's share. It's brown in a few places, but I think I'll be able to salvage some of it. When I slice it open, there's such a lazy gravity to my thoughts, like suddenly I'm thinking about you, the way you're feeling and thinking and the solar eclipse and gashes of memory like spilt paint how it felt when we met, like suddenly this unbelievable, spontaneous connection. A dark green brownish goop slithers onto my cutting board. I can't tell if it's a sign of rot or just a different kind of tomato that I've never seen before, but it smells wrong. It is tempting to blame the tomato. Sadly, I scrape most of it into the trash. What remains is two slivers of red and green, crisp, waning. With effort, I saw them into cubes, then set them aside. I let this happen, I remind myself. Me, me, me. I clean and dice the red bell pepper from this week's share. I keep listening to Tibetan pop stars. You know that line that goes, nobody deserves you the way that I do. I mean, that's you and me and you and the way you're feeling and thinking and the solar eclipse and how it felt when we met. And I deserve you and me and you deserve me and you and you and me and... The Tupperware containing last week's eggplant. Discard any regions where the brown spots look worse than natural. Slice the remaining strips into cubes. In sloppy handfuls, I toss the eggplant and pepper with olive oil in a pan on the stove, then let them cook while I cross the kitchen to the sink to scrub the dirt from two of the potatoes. I am trying to be grateful for small satisfactions like holding a damp, clean potato, putting all the groceries in their rightful place, taking a scalding bath in a freshly bleached tub, triumphing over a drawn-out attempt to rip off a stubborn hangnail, the startling red flooding that pink, pried open. I don't know how to reconcile this unbelievable, spontaneous connection with needing to be different, separate, separate, different, different, separate, different, me and you and you and me and me and you and you and me and me and you and you and me and me and...
Trench between the side of the nail and the tip of the finger, like twisting out a useless baby tooth. The fresh, wet crater, the surge of salt, the delicious crunching cord of all those roots snapping free. I'm helping them prepare for a TEDx talk about food waste. It'll be all the rage by the time we've broken up, but they cared about it before it was cool to care about it. At the age of 19, 3 years before we met, they co-founded a nonprofit that works with dining halls on college campuses to divert surplus food away from landfills and into the mouths of hungry people at local food shelters. In the hotel suite before the dress rehearsal, we practice and practice, circling each other like vultures, limbs and cast-off clothes tingling up with the words. Here is an incomplete list of all the problems I learned about in college: climate change, species die-out, systemic racism, sexism, poverty, global hunger, edits whispered over and over. At some point I stopped thinking change was possible. Frantic, frantic, facts chanted like prayer. Food waste is one of the least publicized and greatest tragedies of our time. We practice so much their speech seeps into the sex, becomes a form of worship. We spend so much time talking about how we're going to grow enough food to feed our growing population, but we're not even managing the food we already have. All those food waste statistics hot in my neck, the insides of my thighs. We're not just throwing away the food itself, but the precious water, land, labor, and other resources that goes into creating it. Faster and faster, pulling their story out of them with my fingers, both of us devoured, spent, before we even have a chance to rehearse the closing remarks. I end up memorizing most of the 10 minutes myself. I sit in the audience the next day watching spellbound as every word on my silent lips tumbles out of theirs. Most of this food isn't even waste at all. It's not bread crusts and orange rinds. It's chicken parmesan, pasta, salad, the kind of food that can be expensive for nonprofits to provide for their clients. A ventriloquist act that leaves me sweating through my blazer, dizzy and ill. We lock eyes when they stumble near the end. Those last few minutes we fail to prepare them for. I know when I talk about communities of change, it sounds abstract, and I swear it's me up there recovering, smiling with just one corner of my mouth, gesturing handsomely, beaming hard and bright like the inside of an oven. I picked a screaming fight with them just the other night, and 3 nights before that, and 2 nights before that, for such crimes as speaking to their sister about our relationship, or being 10 minutes late picking me up from the airport, or failing to remove their laundry from the dryer. But I know that I'd never actually leave, because what do I consist of if not this? The highs and the lows and the afterglows, the relentless give and take that is us. I need my self-fulfilling prophecies. I need the sharp, clear lines of my expectations. We make a good unit. That's how we stop talking about problems and start talking about solutions. That's how we change the world, but I forget it all as soon as they're off stage. Every word, because they're the one who wrote it, delivered it, received the applause for it, while I clapped proudly, stupidly, thrumming with leftovers from the night before, crossing my legs urgently against what had only belonged to me, what had only made me full in one particular context. Nearly a billion people in the world are food insecure, and every one of them could be fed on less than a quarter of the food that is wasted in the US, UK, and Europe, according to the campaign group feedback. The average American family of four, meanwhile, discards nearly $1,600 in produce annually, according to the Environmental Protection Agency. I'm talking about the apples buried so deep in your produce drawer you're afraid to dig them up, the bruised pepper you bought a month ago and forgot about because it turned out you only needed one for the recipe. I'm talking about the bag of carrots waterlogged behind the milk, bleached and pliant, shriveled up like the pads of your fingers after a long, hot shower. I'm talking about all those things that are sitting around reeking, unnoticed, the lukewarm stink of excess snuffed out by the cold, absorbed into the blank white space of your trusty baking soda. I'm talking about the codependents, the enablers, those of us who are never made to confront our own consequences. How much we give up in the pouring out, the taking in, all that careful scrubbing clean, fistfuls of endings dropped into the trash bag, so many trash bags dropped down the chute to wherever they go after that, and in our kitchens back to normal, because better to be buried than to starve. Most of us don't slip into the passive voice on purpose. Usually it just happens, the convenient misdirection of subject and object, plausible deniability. But I'm talking about how it's our fault, theirs and mine, separately. I'm talking about bulk purchases and expiration dates and boundaries wilting, and all the ways we lie ourselves into bliss. 3. I put a small pot of water onto boil and salt it generously. While it's heating, I cut the potatoes in half lengthwise, then into 4 strips, then into small cubes.
I drop a handful into the pot and the boiling water splashes my hand, scalding it. I leap over to the sink and run my hand under the tap, room temperature. I can never remember why this is better than cold water, but I think it has something to do with shock. Contrast pitch too high, too harsh. In small, persistent spoonfuls, I scoop the remaining potatoes into a ladle and slide them gingerly into the water. After they've boiled for a few minutes, I dump the potatoes into the colander and set the littlest pot in the sink next to it, then place the knife and cutting board there as well. This is part of a grand experiment in which I leave.
There isn't just a U-shaped hole. There's a me shaped by you hole too, which is to say, it's so chaotic to not know exactly what you're feeling all the time. You shaped, and I feel like my skin is coming off and I'm still not sleeping or eating or drinking enough water for this me shaped by you hole I'm protecting.
Dishes in the sink instead of washing them right away, but most days the best I can do is leave.
It feels like watching a plant up close and waiting for it to grow. But mostly it's just horrible in a horrible way, not in a beautiful way. I mean, I think about how alone we all feel, this horrible hole, and you make me feel less alone, this beautiful hole, and how is that bad?
A plate and pan and spatula from breakfast, then wash them right before I'm ready to prepare my lunch. It's a test. I'm fighting against impulse, complacency. I'm doing my best to keep track of myself, to regrow into something of substance, but everything takes longer when you're starting from scratch. I prefer the mathematics of baking, I tell them early on, knowing exactly what formula will achieve the perfect result. There's too much room for error in cooking, too much freedom, all those unmeasured elements blurring together into something senseless and swallowing. That's okay, I hate cleaning up, they grin, so for 3 years, I stand at the sink while they slice and dice and stir and taste, engineering whatever I ask for as if they want it themselves, even though they're not even a vegetarian, even though their palate is infinitely more refined than mine, which is otherwise content with frozen meals heated up in the microwave. Our kitchen is a strip of an alley, a wall on one side with a feeble square of peeling tile countertop smushed between the stove and refrigerator, stripped bare under the harsh interrogation of a crooked fluorescent light. The space, a generous noun, is cramped. It does nothing to welcome their broad shoulders and the careening clumsy stretch of all my limbs, but we understand as if by instinct when to duck for the other to open a cupboard or swerve out of the way of a steaming pan. I wasn't done with that, they say sometimes, after I've washed the garlic press or the paring knife or the vegetable peeler or the cheese grater, but they say it gently and I just wash it again. I hardly notice. I can't tell the difference between a truth and a lie, they say, about the unblinking excuses and the late-night voicemails from their ex and all the sneaking in and out and around, but they say it gently and I choose to believe them. We make a good unit. I can't tell the difference between a root and a scapegoat, who I was before I started punishing them and who I am now, the gravity of their infidelity versus the validity of my cruelty, that obvious big bad which renders me good and loyal by comparison, by default. I can no longer tell the difference between their thoughts and my own, whose debt and whose suffering is greatest, the ways we've hurt each other versus the ways we are hurting ourselves, still and still, on and on and on, the way they feel and the way I feel and the way we feel about the way the other feels, everything contaminated with not only its history but its opposite. On Saturday mornings, they fill the littlest pot with water and make a whirlpool of it when it boils, crack each egg and slip its guts into the center. They always make it look so easy, I assume I'll be able to poach my eggs without them one day, but I never ask them to teach me directly, and it turns out I'm wrong. A head of lettuce takes anywhere between 2 weeks and 6 months to decompose and compost, but up to 25 years to decompose in a landfill, deprived as it is of oxygen and water, according to the documentary Wasted. Scary, considering the United Nations Environment Program reports that most uneaten food rots in landfills, where it accounts for almost 25% of U.S. methane emissions, a gas that is 21 times more potent than carbon dioxide in amplifying the greenhouse effect. Why did I stay? I forgot I was an I. Why did I leave? I needed to stop being forgiven. I needed to stop pretending to forgive. Eventually, finally, you understand. Too much feels safe until it doesn't. Too much feels safe until it smothers it, whatever version of whole you were before. I grind two cloves with garlic and sprinkle fingerfuls into a swirl of hot oil. I let it sizzle too long, I realize, when it starts to char. I scrape it from the bottom of the pan, then use the ladle to drop in the boiled potatoes while the oil droplets dance and shriek. Once they're browned and crisped, I pour the potatoes into the shallow bowl where I've left the sautéed pepper and eggplant to cool. I dump the chopped tomato on top and sit down to eat. Finally, I have figured out the secret to frying potatoes flawlessly, boiling them first. When I'm done eating, I scrape the scraps into the garbage. If I was a better citizen of the world, I'd compost them or turn them into a soup. I'd have planned this ahead of time. I'd have hunted through my fridge for other contents to support the cause. Fighting food waste on an individual level is mostly about simple planning and storage. But I've come such a long way, I think, from the days before my ex, when I tossed every container stamped with a date in the past, when I didn't realize you can freeze just about anything and eat it months into the future, when I sincerely believed flour couldn't go bad as long as you put a rubber band around it. I set the bowl and fork in the sink with the cutting board, pot, and frying pans. I stare at the pile and my hands twitch. I walk out of the kitchen and tug on the door, irritated, until I realize the door has swelled from the heat and is now slightly too big for its frame, or the doorway can no longer hold the door without becoming it, or some other sentence in which neither door nor doorway is subject nor object because they each exist on their own terms, not solely in relationship to one another. In the end, I'm forced to leave it open and walk away, dirty dishes weighing down the sink, tomato bits marching steadily toward death, snug inside the last trash bag, and I try to remember, we prevent waste by taking inventory, by not looking away. We prevent waste by keeping our eyes wide and our mouths honest, by learning how to feed ourselves, eating only when we are hungry, stopping only when we are full. Thank you.